The DeFalco Files is an entertainment-based program. Some memories of certain events might be fuzzy. All opinions are that of the host. Content might not be appropriate for children and some adults. Listener discretion is advised. And remember, the truth is here. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents The DeFalco Files with FSW owner Joe DeFalco and your host, Matt Michaels.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here, and this is The DeFalco Files with none other than Joe DeFalco, the owner and creator of FSW Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. And today we have a very special guest, shall we say Joe's better half? Is that what you say, Rocky?
I don't know about better half, but definitely half.
It's Rocky T. You know, before we get into the interview, Joe, this past Friday, you just had Future Shock, the first one back since all this craziness is going on. How did that go, and were there any standouts on that card?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, brought in some new guys, the Talent Initiative. We kind of blasted Facebook and Twitter and got great responses from some great talent out of SoCal, some guys that we kind of knew of, but, you know, not really in depth. You know, we have a great roster to begin with, but we brought in a guy named Jordan Cruz, who wrestles all over San Diego, Hollywood, stuff like that. Definitely has some great potential. A guy who lives here locally now, Steven Tresario, who worked Best of the West, Hood Slam.
Yeah.
You know, he looked really, really good. A guy out of Washington, Jordan Oasis, who actually came down last year and trained with us, which I was unaware of when we actually had him coming in. And Vandegrift had told me, oh, yeah, he trained here last year. And I'm like, oh, I guess he came down for a couple of days and I know exactly who he was. And when we talked after the fact, I was like, bro, you trained with us last year. Wouldn't you want to mention that when you're talking about trying to get a booking on the show? And, you know, we were extremely happy with, you know, most of the talent, even the younger guys, because it's their opportunity. That's one thing about Future Shock. It's like, now that we're getting ready to delve into going back on TV, MILB TV, there's going to be less spots for the younger guys. And that's why we felt Future Shock is going to be able to get them ready. A young kid like Damon, who had a really good showing with Jordan Cruz. So, you know, a lot of these younger guys don't want to get slept on. And, you know, the Pat's there, Suavecito's, all these younger guys that we may not feel are ready for the prime time, you know, they want to prove me wrong, which is, you know, great because it's all about the competition.
Absolutely. And speaking of competition, the announcement was just made for the Nevada State Championship Tournament, the 8 final participants. Amongst them, you have some familiar faces and some maybe not so familiar faces. Going into it, what was your logic behind, you know, some of the guys? Like, we're going to see replacing Matt Vandegrift because Matt's injured is Danny Limelight Rivera. Great track record with him. He's a very good performer, good wrestler. Is it taking guys like that and putting him into a tournament like this where you have guys like Remy, Marcel, you know, that kind of counterbalance and give fans kind of a new look and kind of a familiar look and also the added possibility that anything could happen?
You know, I was excited about Brandon Gatson coming back and an awesome match with Vandegrift. And even last year when he came back, he had a fantastic match with Chris Bay. So it's like Brandon's going back full time. He was going to get the last spot in the tournament. He got hurt. And Danny Limelight was a guy that we used last year at Against All Odds. He actually opened up the Rumble with Matt Vandegrift, and he showed a lot. There was a lot of people who had told me about him, and I was aware of him, but a lot of people said good things about him. And when I needed somebody to fill that last spot, I didn't want to just bring in somebody who lost in the qualifiers. I wanted to bring a guy who just was in the finals of the New Japan Young Lions thing. But, like, you know, this guy is over the last couple of years, you know, he may not be working the SoCal Indies that much longer. You know,
yeah.
New Japan has been using him a lot.
Yeah.
Teaming with TJ Perkins and all these other guys. So we got a standout guy to take a spot of another standout guy. And like I said, over the last couple shows, you know, we got three or four guys that are really going to be included into the mix. There's a guy from the week before that we used. He goes by Class, and yes. His name's Christopher Landon. I'm not even sure the rest of his name, but he was trained by Hammerstone and Dom Vitale down in Phoenix. And this guy, about 6'2", Jack, looks like a million bucks and just presents himself as a professional. And that's a guy that, you know, we hope to showcase in the near future where a lot of people don't know who he is. And we have that track record of people you don't know who they are until they come to FSW.
And one of the best things about Class, and I was there, last Saturday when he wrestled, he is an instant hateable character. And he lives by the character, and he's phenomenal. And I think the guys like Limelight and Class, I mean, and Gatson, and I mean, whew. What I love about it is that everyone here is now going to have to step up their game even more than it already was. Holy crap, this shit is going to get fucking amazing, because you're going to see wild shit that, you know, you're not going to see anywhere else, just right here in Las Vegas.
And Funny Bone even showed up.
Oh, man. Is there anything that you're thinking about? Are there any surprises or anything potentially going to happen for you got an upcoming show this Saturday, the 24th, and then a show on Halloween. Could we see maybe some kind of eerie spectacle or surprise for Halloween?
Well, it's always something special on Halloween. Rocky over here, we had a makeshift coffin for many years, but he had a guy at the morgue, and we got two coffins now.
Rocky, you pulled off another coffin, huh?
Yeah, two real coffins. Oh. Not just man-made. I mean, these things are the real deal. $3,500 coffins.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's, you know, some interesting stuff that can happen, especially when you got minds like Funny Bone floating around who can come up with ideas for this. Let's get into talking a little bit, Rocky, about you grew up on the East Coast. What brought you out to Las Vegas? When did you come out this way, man?
I was right around 98, 97. I moved out here because my mom was out here. You know, I've been all over the place. And when I got to Vegas, I was working for Western States Contractors. And I was doing a lot of bodyguard work, and I ended up opening up Rocky T Security, and hell, I did really, really well. So I stayed, you know. So, but I've always been a wrestling guy, always, you know. And when I met Joe and a couple other people, I think it was Michael Modest at the time, and then Jack Slammy, it was one of those things where I was all in, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I was, because, I mean, FSW has definitely turned into something special. It really has.
with you two being, you know, East Coast guys, what was your most common ground that you guys found in each other? Was it the love of wrestling, or was it that other level of relating to, you know, certain teams or certain food or certain places?
It's kind of funny. So one of the guys that brought me into my motorcycle club, because I ride, I wear colors, he was actually living with Joe at the time, and that's how I met Joe, was through a buddy of ours, mutual friend, Casey. And then it was years later, I actually bought a house a couple doors down from Joe. And that's pretty much where it really began. So we knew each other, and I had gone to a couple of shows that Joe was doing commentary on. I think it was one of Rush's shows, and, you know, I was always hip to the wrestling. So any chance that I got, I was there. So
Booker T.
Yeah, Booker T. That's right. Absolutely. And from there, we just kind of became friends. And, you know, our mutual love for the wrestling business has brought us to where we are today.
Joe, what did you initially find in Rocky that you thought was kind of a kindred spirit, or was it just, you know, a cool guy that you happen to meet through a roommate that, you know, through time becomes someone that you just kind of grow a little closer to?
I would say money was the most important thing. I was getting ready. I had talked to different people, and we were looking to do the show, and I got the Rancho Suave. And I probably had enough money to do that show, and if it didn't do well, then there probably wouldn't be any other shows. And I remember talking with Rocky, and he had met with Conan and talking about a few years back about hopefully getting AAA to run shows in the United States, and Rocky was looking to get involved with that. Well, that didn't go through, but I always remember that conversation, because also me and Rush bought a lot of the memorabilia from the Nitro Grill.
Right.
So, and under. And because of my roommate Casey, you know, and Rocky, who love wrestling, Rocky ended up buying a lot of the stuff that we had. So that's how I kind of knew about him and the wrestling and all that other stuff. So when I saw what the budget was going to be for the first show, blah, 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 I'm like, hey, Rocky, I got this thing I got going on, you know. And in reality, I always knew that one show can't really break you, because you're not expecting to make any money. You know, it's how little are you going to lose, you know, for those first few shows. So instead of trying to do it by myself, I said, hey, Rocky, you wanna get involved, be 50-50 partners, and I want to run this wrestling thing. And he was all for it. We ran the first show at the Rancho Swap Meet, the hottest show ever that the Young Bucks have ever worked on. We put some good people there. Kenny King wrestled for us because he was through Rush and won our championship. And after, you know, things out at the SWAT, we weren't able to do the shows anymore. We moved over to the Silver Nugget, and it's been, hasn't been all smooth sailing, but we're at a point now where FSW is considered one of the top independent companies in the United States.
Rocky, what are your memories of that, you know, initial start? Were there any apprehensions that you had, knowing how difficult it is to, you know, turn any kind of profit at all in the wrestling business, especially in the independents at that time, you know, a decade ago?
It was pure hell. I mean, Jesus Christ, it was 120 degrees. The room wasn't that big. But you know what? The love of wrestling, we didn't really care. We just knew that we had a venue and that we were going to make this happen. And we did. I mean, you know, it was a tough road in the beginning, but we got through it. You know, Joe knew enough people. He was great at what he was doing at booking. I was that guy that, you know, could build the ring, could do what needed to be done to make sure the show happened on the backside of it. So together, we kind of worked really well together. And we made stuff happen. I mean, and Jesus, I mean, I look back at it, and to be honest with you, I never thought that we'd be in the place that we are right now. I'll be totally honest, because it was a rough road. You know, when you're doing shows, everybody thinks that you're getting rich and you're making all this money. And Jesus Christ, at that time, we were putting double in what we were getting out. Yep. You know, if we made, I don't think we made anything, to be honest with you. I think it was always a loss. But we just kept on trucking, and we just kept telling ourselves that we can make this happen. And we did. You know, it was exciting, man. You know, I mean, hell, we were living a dream. Let's face it, because that's what it was. It was a dream for both of us. You know, two guys from the East Coast that just loved wrestling, you know, and, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, through the ups and downs, we made it all happen, you know, so.
Were you on Postcard Patrol as well? Were you actively putting up flyers, handing out shit, or were you mainly concerned about the logistics of actually making sure there was a ring and it got set up and, you know, everything was squared?
I did flyering back in the day. I did whatever needed to be done. It, you know, if Joe needed help with something, I was there to help no matter what. I tried to keep my hands in the logistic parts of it to make sure that we had everything that we needed, that we could make the show run smooth. And Joe was really good at, you know, delegating to the students, because, I mean, we had people that wanted to get involved. So we used every goddamn possible angle we could to get stuff done, you know. So it was good stuff.
And Joe, thinking of that time, what did, outside of the money aspect, what did that mean to you, what Rocky was bringing to the table? Do you think that if it was anyone else, or if it was just yourself in the position, would you have been able to keep it afloat and keep that rough structure that first year or so going?
To be honest, I'm not really sure. There's certain things that I'll tell you, and then there's certain things that I can't do, that, you know, as we re-renovated the arena recently to try to upgrade and do all that stuff, you know, that's stuff that I'm not really technically able to do that stuff like that.
Sure.
And, you know, Rocky steps in, you know, hey, Rocky, we need a little ramp to come down to upgrade it. Oh, we need the trussing and things like that. And he's able to find the stuff, put things together. You know, in most cases, he ends up doing the work all himself. So all that work, if Rocky wasn't around, it would have cost me thousands of dollars more to try to get it to where the arena looked today. And Rocky gets on the ladder and he's going to put up all the lights. And, you know, it was similar to everything back then, because when we first started, we started in my backyard as a wrestling school until we found a place. And Mike Modest was going to come down from Sacramento area, where he was up from NorCal. And we found a place, and we were really lucky the first year. We had a great spot, 4,500 square feet. They charged us $1,500. But we had three or four students when we first started. So as he grew the first year, then all of a sudden the landlord's like, okay, now you need to pay $2,000. So anytime we would get somewhat close, next year was $2,200. And after the third year, then they wanted $2,500. So that's when we moved to the facility we're at. And now we had to redo everything there, setting up all the lights and making it look like a mini arena, you know. And that's all the work that Rocky does. But more importantly, when you say, would we be able to do that without him, the main thing that he did was allow me to run the shows and not say, hey, this is a buddy of mine, bring him in. Hey, why do you use him? And this, that, and the other thing. He let me do my thing, and he had enough trust in me to allow me to do it, you know. And the track record shows from the Silver Nugget shows, guys like the Reno Scum and Brian Cage and Sean Ricker you know, those, we didn't have a school to generate those guys. So we had to bring in the best guys we could in the suburban commandos. And we put together a great little show. And then school started to catch on a little bit. We also used a lot of the local guys. Remy came back to Vegas. Funny Bone was with us from the beginning. You know, we had Legacy, who ran the school, and his best friend growing up was Leon Hader. And we all of a sudden had a good core of local guys mixed in with guys like the Scum and the Commandos and the Von Dooms. They made our tag team division. In the very beginning, we had no tag teams from Vegas because there was no wrestling out here.
Right.
So, you know, everything we did from scratch. We had to build. And more importantly than doing all the grunt work and getting the ring and having it set up, because I remember even helping sometimes. We'd go set up a ring at Fort Cheyenne for a guy who rented the ring. And it was me, Rocky, my kid, my wife, I remember one time, with Corky McPatt. I think we were the ones there. You remember that, Rocky?
Yeah, I remember that. For a lucha show.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Rocky, with kind of being around the wrestling scene, was this something that you enjoyed, not only, you know, being the hands-on person, but also get an opportunity to meet some of these guys, talk with some of these guys, get to know especially the students? Was that something that you, like, ever really anticipated or thought about? Or was it something that just kind of, you know, naturally started to progress where you got to essentially, you know, be taken into the wrestling business by the boys?
I knew Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage. I grew up with Chief J. Strongbow. I've always hobnobbed with wrestlers, so it wasn't something new. It was cool to be able to do that, but that wasn't why I was in the business. I mean, I get more thrills of watching these young guys, you know, better themselves and making it, like, for, you know, Killer Cross and Chris Bay. Yeah. I mean, that for me is the reward right there. You know, I mean, I'm 54 years old, you know. I mean, I can get in there, I can take a hit or two, I can certainly give a hit or two, but I'm a little old for wrestling, you know what I'm saying, for full time. So, you know, it gave me an outlet, too, because, you know, obviously, I don't want to say I've been a character, because Rocky T really is Rocky T, but being able to play Rocky T in that atmosphere in the wrestling world is, you know, it's awesome. You know, I mean, I love being part of the show when I am part of the show, but I like everything about it. You know what I mean? And I think really the biggest thing is really just watching these kids live their dreams and being part of, you know, helping them to do that.
So, Joe, speaking of Rocky being involved in the actual show, what was the evolution? Was it something in your mind to start incorporating them, or how did the Rocky T character start coming about?
Well, back when Mike Modis was the head trainer there, I guess him and Rocky had some conversations, and Mike felt that, hey, you need to get Rocky T, you know, into the show. So initially, he got brought in as a manager, right? You're a manager first. Commissioner?
I think it was commissioner. I started, I think, as commissioner, and then transpired into a manager for the Haters Club, or for the players.
So what the deal was, we had a lot of different guys rotate in and out as commissioners. And for most of the time, a guy like, we had Dino Danelli, we had Mike Modest, we had Rocky. It wasn't the most exciting gig to have. I always try to compare everything. When we did shows at the FSW Arena, that was what we would call our Monday Night Raw shows.
Sure.
And the commissioner on Monday Night Raw, when you watched it, he would be making matches. He would be a lot more involved. The problem is, when we would go to Sam's Town, that would be what we would call the pay-per-view. And on the pay-per-view show, a lot of stuff it's pretty much set in stone. This is what we're doing. We've set everything up for Samstown. And now the commissioner has a lot less to do on that show. Right. And Rocky wanted to be more involved. So that's when it came about. When Hader and Cash, we got them together, they became the Players Club, and Rocky was their manager. Normally, we don't use too many babyface managers, but in that situation, they were fan favorites, and Rocky slid right in, and, you know, they had a really good run until, you know, Cash ended up moving away. But the Players Club's, you know, the Players Club won the tag team titles, and, you know, and Rocky was involved with that for, you know, a few years at least.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite memories of the Players Club? Is there any moments that stick out to you in terms of, you know, something that happened or, you know, audience reactions that you didn't necessarily expect? Is there anything that, you know, was a highlight moment for you?
I don't think there was really an actual highlight moment. The Players Club, we used to do so many vignettes and so many promos, which was so fun. I mean, we went to different locations. We did shit on golf carts, playing poker. I mean, we just did so much stuff. It was ridiculous. And I really had a lot of fun doing that. I think probably one of the biggest moments was when they won the tag straps, and I believe that was at the Silverton in a cage match. It was big. I mean, I always had fun with them. I mean, you couldn't be part of the Players Club and not have fun, you know? So
it was an impromptu cage match. The match wasn't even scheduled.
Yeah.
And those boys and the Players Club were fighting from outside into the ring. You know, I still dispute that the match was for the title because Rocky T made the decision that it's going to be a title match that wasn't even on the card, and the bonus boys lost. But Rocky's being modest, because I know he's not modest to begin with, but his best moment is the fact that he'll tell you he's undefeated in FSW matches, pinning our old commissioner, the Big Unit, in a six-man at Samstown.
Was that
before the Players?
was that something that you got kind of put onto you very unexpectedly before you walked through the curtain?
No, not really. I mean, what had happened is a couple of shows before that, my mom jumped Rush, and then my dad got involved, and nobody knew it was my mom and my dad, and that just kind of started a little war with Jason Partain and Rush, and then the commissioner, the Big Unit. So I went with it, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, this is going to work. You know, a lot of storyline that I got into, I kind of just threw myself into it. It's sure. One of those things, you know, and let's see where it goes. So,
and, you know, you kind of brought up the vignettes and promos. Joe, Rocky is a standout promo guy, correct?
He'll tell you he's the best promo guy in FSW. Just ask him.
Hey, Rocky, are you the best promo guy in FSW?
He got robbed by Mondo Rocks.
So, yeah, what went on with that? First of all, you know, it was amazing to see basically the talent from out in Las Vegas dominate this national promo contest.
Them.
Yeah.
We killed them. I mean, we literally killed them. I mean, really, Mondo did a great job, and I think, you know, the problem with Mondo is he had a whole team working on his side. I mean, the promos I did, I did by myself. And the reason he won, it was funny because I shot three promos for that actual match. And I really just sent the wrong one in. And that was the honest. I sent the first one I did, I sent in and asked the judges just because I wanted to know, would this have worked? I really was trying to be nice, and I think that's where my mistake was. Because they were part of Vegas, I didn't want to be that asshole. I wasn't throwing those little tidbits in there, and I think that's what got me. You know, the first one, I wasn't so nice, you know what I'm saying? You know, being a face, even, you know, when I do my promos, I still try to put those guys over. I try to be the face. And it's tough sometimes, you know. But that was a fun experience, you know. I mean, we really, Las Vegas, all the guys involved, I mean, we just smoked those guys, literally smoked them. So it was fun.
You know, you said, you know, being the face. For you, is it easier to be a face because you are a very nice guy, but you got a heel look? Is it something that...
I do.
You know, so what is the contrast there? Do you, I mean, ultimately, would you feel comfortable as, you know, the most hated guy in Las Vegas?
I don't think I would. I love the fans. I mean, I can come out and just fix the ring and the fans chant rock. I mean, I'm serious. You know, yeah. I don't know how I would react getting booed. Wasn't too long ago, I did a little heel turn on Leon Hader, and it almost brought tears to my eyes. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. I like being that guy. I like being the face. But here's the problem with being a face. If I'm a manager, whatever it is, I don't get into the action. I'm a big guy. I've been training for the last 3 years, and I'm bigger than most of the guys we have. As a face, I can't do those run-ins. I can't be body slamming people. I can't be doing this because I got to be the good guy. So, you know, there's going to come a time where I think I'm just not going to be a good guy anymore, and I'm going to be that evil whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just because it's going to give me more to do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how I'll handle it, but, you know, I guess we'll find out.
Joe, what?
So. I know he doesn't like Sin Bodhi very much, so that may mean something right there. Just saying.
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine, Rocky, what you would have to put your body through if Sin got a hold of you.
Listen, me and Sin have a great relationship. He's been wanting to run a program with me, and it might happen. I mean, we've got a couple of things that we're looking at right now to get me back into storyline with some different angles, you know, maybe not... Yeah, you know, I don't want to say manager exactly, but we're working on something to get back into the show. Because I'll be totally honest with you, I miss it. I miss not being part of the show. It's a big part of why I got involved with, you know, FSW to start with, is because I did want to be part of the show. You know, I love it. I mean, I love everything about it. So we're working on it. So hopefully, before too long, you'll see Rocky T dumping some people on their heads. You know what I'm saying?
Joe, with, you know, this in mind, when you think about the way that television is going to be done coming up, would a character like Rocky fit into, you know, a weekly program on television? Or is it something that would be more reserved and more better utilized, you know, at the local shows that aren't being televised?
Now watch what you say here, Joe. This could make you or break you, brother.
Yes, well, politically correct. It's difficult getting a lot of people on. I'm going through this stuff about the TV, and it's like trying to fit guys in. And it is just a very difficult process. The problem with FSW is there's so many good wrestlers on the show that you don't want to get people lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Like Graves and Hammerstone, two of the mainstays in FSW, I can't see only having them on once every 4 or 5 weeks. You know what I mean? And it's like, doing the TV tapings, and we got stuff set up because of the Nevada State tournament. But there are a lot of guys who won't even be on the first taping just because you only got 5 matches. You know, you got 40 minutes to try to squeeze in, trying to get vignettes, trying to get promos, trying to get storylines, trying to fit people in. We got new talent. That's awesome. And then we're going to have a lot of younger guys that are going to be pissed off because they don't have a main role So there is definitely a lot of juggling going on. And it's like, we have our first taping, you know, in 5 days, and it's still a scramble as to who's going to work who. And, you know, now we got a couple of injuries. You know, we had set up Death Proof versus Unguided for a number one contenders match, and having Kenny at Ring of Honor really kind of stifles the whole tag division, because Kenny being gone and then the number one contenders not being around, we may not have the tag champions or the number one contenders to the third or fourth week of TV. So, you know.
So maybe what Joe's saying is, yeah, he needs a character like Rocky and he's going to figure it out. Ain't that right, Joe? That's pretty much what you're saying.
Absolutely. I'm, okay. You know, it's in my notes.
Right. Exactly. That's what he was saying. I mean, I heard it that way. I don't know what everybody
said. You know, short story long, you know?
Right.
You know, I think Joe said something very interesting, and that is when younger guys, or any talent for that matter, feels that they're not being utilized, or, you know, are struggling, you know, with any kind of, you know, politics or anything in their mind that they think is politics. Rocky, do you have anyone who's coming to you with those problems? Are you like a moderator, a peacemaker, or are they going straight to Joe with it?
No, I mean, some of the guys come to me, and I, this is the thing, you know, being a partner with Joe all these years, I pretty much know where Joe's head's at with everything. If a guy works his ass off, Joe gives him an opportunity. I mean, you know why our shows are so goddamn long? Because Joe's got such a big goddamn heart, wants to have everybody on the goddamn show. You know, so I think most people know that now. I mean, if you deserve a spot, Joe's going to give you a spot, you know? I try not. I'm there to be helpful with the guys, and if they've got a problem with Joe, they talk to me and I talk to Joe, but most of the time they know that I'm on the same page Joe is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, everybody knows Joe gives these guys every goddamn opportunity that he can. If they come in, they do the work, they put in the time, then they're going to go somewhere. You know, you got to earn it. And if you're not one of those guys that's willing to sacrifice and earn it, then you're not going to get that spot. But by all means, if you are, Joe's going to make sure something happens for you. You know, and that's the one thing I can say about Joe. I think sometimes he wears his heart on his sleeve. You know, he's always thinking about those guys and wants to make sure they have a match and shit. I mean, like I said, that's why our goddamn shows sometimes are 3 hours. You know, he's gotten a lot better over the last, you know, year or so. But still. You know, I mean, he tries to get everybody on the show. God bless his heart, you know? So.
You know, for you, Joe, is there any memories that stick out for you as crucial moments that Rocky contributed to in terms of, you know, anything, whether it be as a talent or, you know, hands-on? Are there certain things that stick out to you as, you know, stories or moments that you just, you can't, you know, get out of your mind?
Well, one thing is when we're dealing with companies like Ring of Honor, and I would say mainly Impact, because with Impact, we are way more hands-on than with Ring of Honor. You know, Ring sure. of Honor, they kind of send in the ring crew, you know, nothing major. But with Impact, we do everything for those guys. So when it comes to doing all the setups and having everything there, you know, that is not my, that's not my pay grade, you know, and Rocky has to spend a lot of extra time and dealing with Impact. And of course it's cool. We got D'Lo there and we get along with everybody, but you know, doing it for yourselves are one thing, but trying to be professionals and making, you know, making it look good for a company like Impact, who you help bring in there 2 or 3 times a year, you know, it's crucial for us because they take care of us. They, you know, yeah. not only do we get guys on the show, we get guys that they get to be backstage and see how a national taping is going on, as well as the fact that they're paying us to utilize what we're doing. And Impact comes back here more and more. They were planning on doing actually Bound for Glory out here, you know, and the reason for all that is the total package of everything that we bring to the table. And in that situation, Rocky brings more to the table for Impact than I do. You know, I have the dealings with them and I deal with Sam's Town, but, you know, they use our ring. They use our guardrails. They use our crew. So, you know, Rocky has to be there to make sure, you know, everything's in place. And, of course, make them happy. You know, sometimes you may not agree with certain things that somebody else is doing, but your job is basically to take care of their every need. I remember I was going to leave early one day. I'm like, yeah, not much for me to do. And then all of a sudden, the guy who runs Impact, Scott, hits me up and he's like, hey, you know where we can get more fucking stirs for the coffee? And I'm like, dude, like, that's what you mean? I got to come back for a stir? You know, it's like, go ask somebody. But it's our job. We got them in there. They take care of us. So when they need something, you know, Rocky will tell you, hey, Tommy Dreamer decided he needed two more chairs. Oh, we needed to get a kendo stick. So it's our job to run around and find some people to do whatever they want.
Rocky, how's it dealing with that type of structure where you might have two or three different people, you know, pointing you in different directions? Is it, you know...
I'm really good at delegating. You know, I run a multi-million-dollar security company. That's what I do, man. I facilitate. I make stuff happen. If they don't got it, I make it if they need it. But, you know, working with Sam's Town all those years, because not only do I got to work with the Impact crew, I've got to work with the Sam's Town crew.
Yeah.
Their lighting department, their camera guys, everybody. And I know everybody, and I've worked with them enough where, you know, for me, it's a breeze. I go in there. I know what needs to be done. I know where everything needs to go. I know what the setup is. About the only thing that I don't do is their backdrop, their televisions.
Right.
They bring a big company in for that. But other than that, I do everything. I set everything. But that's what I'm good at. I'm good at making shit happen. I mean, that's what my job is, you know. Make sure the show goes on without a hitch. That's what I got to do, and I'm good at doing that. So, but I'm a very respectful person too. I know how to deal with people. I know how to talk to people, and I definitely know how to get the job done. I mean, you could probably ask some of the students, and they'll tell you when it comes time for crunch time, man, I'm cracking that whip. You know, it's not all fun and games all the time, and you know, I instill that in them that this is an opportunity for you, and we're here to do, you know, to do a job. Let's get that job done. You know, the fun comes at the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we're always on a time crunch. Things have to be done in a certain time frame because then it starts costing even more money. I mean, they charge by the hour for the lighting guy and this guy and that guy. When they're doing, you know, pay-per-views, it starts at this time and it ends at this time. So everything has to be done, and it has to be done on a time limit. So that's what my forte is making sure that stuff happens. You know, but I'm very well respected by all those guys because I'll get my hands dirty if I need to. I mean, if there's not enough guys for ring crew, then I'm right in there with them doing whatever needs to be done. You know, I mean, I don't ask anybody to do something that I'm not willing to do, you know. So, you know, it is what it is, you know. But, I mean, I've learned a lot over the years. You know, obviously I've become very good at what I do. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you brought up the students and, you know, essentially being the ring crew. What do you think that means in terms of, A, the students getting a chance to participate in something that sometimes is, you know, lost nowadays where, you know, they just walk into a school, they train, and they think everything should just be handed to them and they don't get their hands dirty. And B, is there anyone who stands out to you that, you know, that maybe, you know, everyone kind of questioned is, I don't know if they have it or whatever, but, you know, just showing up and doing things like Green Crew kind of showed that they had the heart to go on and eventually, you know, be able to then participate and learn more in the ring and then develop. Like, almost keep them hanging around to eventually
hit. There's been a lot. You know, they come and they go. The guys that are serious about it, you know, they take it serious. And they're willing to put in that extra time. You know, I try to teach these guys that you got to pay your dues. You know, the days of paying dues went back to the 70s where all the wrestlers would come in and it was a group function to set up the ring. Yep. It wasn't just the students. I mean, it was whatever needed to be done to get the show started. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's been lost over the years. You know, I have great students that are always there. Then I have those slackers, you know, and then you'll run into those guys where Joe will give them an opportunity, slap a belt on them. And then the next thing you know, they disappear. They're not at training. They're not at Ring Crew. You know, it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, but you always know the guys that have the heart. And those guys that have the heart, like, let's talk about Cody real quick. So Cody's a guy that's been with us forever. I love the guy. He is phenomenal. I mean, and there's more than just him, you know, Matt Vandegrift. There's quite a few of them that they still, they're superstars in my eyes. I mean, they paid their dues. They've done everything they need to do, but, they're still there. They're still there helping when it comes time for Ring Crew, building the ring or things that need to be done. You know, they don't hesitate to lend a hand. And those are the guys that I really appreciate. And those are the guys that I know are going to go somewhere in this business. You know, Chris Bay was the same way. You know, he was always there to lend a hand no matter what. And I appreciate those guys. And like I said, those are the guys that get the opportunities. I mean, I don't care if you're the greatest wrestler in the world, but if you're not willing to put out and help out, then really, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I got no use for you. There's a lot of great wrestlers out there. You know, you're not showing me anything. You're not helping the guys. You're doing everything you're doing for yourself. And unfortunately, in the wrestling business, it's not just about you. You know what I'm saying? It's about the whole product. It's about the whole show. So it's difficult sometimes. I mean, I got some guys right now, man, that are always slacking. I always got to, you know, lay the smackdown on them, you know, and have those little chats. But right now we have a really great crew. We have some guys that, you know, no matter what I ask to get done, they're on it. You know, I show them what needs to be done and I guide them, you know, even with Ring Crew. I mean, you can tell a guy 20 different times that this pole goes here, that pole goes there. It doesn't click in their head because it's just not part of their regular routine. Yeah. So I always still got to be there to make sure things are set the way they need to be set. My biggest thing is safety. When it comes to ladder matches, table, I mean, whatever it might be, cages, you know, I've got probably the fastest record of setting up a cage in an event than anywhere in the world besides WWE lowering a cage. and you know, it's always about safety for me. So when I'm doing anything, it's always about keeping the guys safe as possible. But yeah, man, we got a great crew. There's, you know, I don't like mentioning names of who's this and who's that, you know, I mean, it just comes with the business. You're going to have those guys that are exceptional and then you're going to have those guys that are just lazy. And who was it that we brought in, Joe? And he said there's three kinds of wrestlers. You got your weekend warrior guy. You got that guy that just wants to wrestle in town. And then you got that guy that wants to be a professional. And that's kind of where we're at. You know, that's what you have. And you figure that out real quick. You know, yeah, this guy just wants to call himself a wrestler. He wants to work a show here and there. Then you got that guy like Chris Bay or Killer Cross that are hungry and they're going to do what they're going to starve if they have to. Chris Bay, literally, you know, is one of those guys. You know, Cross. I mean, I can remember Cross telling Joe every other day, bring this guy in for me. I want to wrestle this guy. I want to wrestle this guy. And Joe was smart enough, and I knew it too. You know, I took Cross into the office, I think, when he first came in, and I gave him a scenario to cut a promo, and my jaw dropped to the goddamn ground. I was like, holy shit, you've never done this before? He's like, yeah, I took an acting class here and there, but, you know, I was like, oh my God, boy, Joe, this, you know, Joe knew it. This guy was going to be a star.
Yeah.
And Joe helped facilitate that. You know, FSW helped facilitate that because we brought in every goddamn guy that he wanted to wrestle. And look at him.
Yeah.
You know, same with Chris Bay. Chris Bay was so hungry. I mean, he was at every training. He was always there, always with questions, always wanted to know this and know that. Never stopped. He never stopped to this day, you know. And those are the guys that stick out, that, and you can see that in a guy. You know, we've got a young kid there now, and I'm not going to put his name or nothing out, but, I mean, phenomenal. I watched him in, I think it was probably his second match. He's a student. I made him my gym manager, and the kid's phenomenal. He's there early every day, always asking me what needs to be done. You know, I went down today with a big list of things that I wanted done, because obviously with TV taping coming up, I want everything to be prestige. I want everything, you know, bling bling it.
Yeah.
And he's right on it, you know. So he's one of those, and he's always got questions. Jesus Christ, if D'Lo comes in, his hand is up like the whole goddamn time. Question after question after question after question after question. And I love it, you know.
Yeah.
But those are the guys that are going to go somewhere in this business because they have a big heart for it. You know what I'm saying?
And
that's what it takes, man. You know, you don't just come into this business, throw on some trunks, train for a couple of months and become a professional wrestler. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
And that is a big part. And I think it's so hard, probably hard for Joe too, to get that through some of these guys that sometimes it takes years to get really, really good and learn this craft. You know, especially nowadays, because let's face it, back in the old school days of, you know, the Hulk Hogan's and stuff. I mean, you know, a guy went in there and he had, you know, five or six big man moves and that was his thing. He could talk and he had the right look. Nowadays, guys are off the top rope. They're doing 360. They're doing the stuff they're doing nowadays is just unbelievable, you know, and it's hard to keep up with that, you know, so. I mean, we just had a guy that kept telling me, and he's not with us anymore, but he kept driving me and Joe crazy. He's going to be a superstar. He's the next WWE big thing. Me, honestly, I just couldn't see it in the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You can look at a guy and tell if he's going to make it. You know what I'm saying? It's that simple. You know, within the first couple of months, you know, you show your true colors.
Right.
You know, you really do. It's a lot of hard work, man. It's not just as easy as throwing on some trunks and learning a few moves and getting in that ring and performing.
Right.
You know, you really gotta, you know, you gotta pay attention to the crowd. It's a bunch of different things. You know, you gotta be good at talking. You gotta be good at wrestling. You gotta be a roundabout. Where back in the day, it wasn't so much. If you're big and you could wrestle, great. They'd stick Bobby Heenan with you, and now you're wonderful. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It ain't like that anymore. You know, I mean, matter of fact, you know, managers are far and few in between.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, you know. Because wrestlers have learned that they've got to be all around. They've got to be able to promo. They've got to be able to wrestle. They got to be able to do it all, or they're not going to get nowhere in this business.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, with the way that Rocky, you know, has this now down pat and has it established, does it give you, I mean, almost an invaluable peace of mind to know that if on a show day at Sam's Town, you have to be at the box office, then you have to be, you know, backstage, then you have to be here and there, and then dealing with this and that, that you know 100% from the minute you show up to the minute you leave that you can trust that Rocky has everything that needs to go ready to go.
Well, whether, you know, I'm always going to be at the box office, we're always going to do that. But we've done so many shows at Sam's Town, it's second nature to us.
Sure.
You know, to where, you know, generally the ring, everything with Rocky, we at Sam's Town, we set up the fucking chairs. You know, we do everything there. And that's generally going to be done the night before. So when we show up show day, you know, we're ready to roll. It's just getting the doors open and getting things rolling. You know, we're a pretty well-oiled machine now that, you know, production's in place. You know, there's the three stages. There's the production, there's the live event that we got to deal with the crew there, which is what I generally handle. And then all the other stuff, you know, when the show is getting ready to start, we're generally ready to roll.
Right.
So, you know, I would think Rocky has more to do the night before than he does the day of. And the day of, he can wear his fedora and he can sit at ringside by the bell and, you know, pretty much enjoy the show. You know, now, obviously, if we have the steel cage, you know, he's going to be running around. He's going to be doing that stuff. But in a lot of cases, you know, before the show, hey, we need two tables under the ring. We need this. We need the kendo stick. We need that. You know, that's all going to be put in place. You know, we communicate before the show, and, you know, he'll ask, hey, are we doing something? You know, do we need ladders? Do, you know, what's going on in the show? And which makes us really prepared.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just the years of doing it and learning and getting better and better and better to where, you know, we're doing live pay-per-views now. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, the production has been upped. We haven't really gotten to see everything that we've done because we've only been able to do some stuff at the school. And, you know, it's a lot smaller. We have big plans to do big things, you know, but we have to wait, you know, everything going on. And it's like, you know, when is it going to change? You know, I sent an email to Samstown a week or two ago to the guy that we've dealt with for 10 years. And I got an email back saying that this team member no longer works for Boyd Gaming. So, you know, you would think the odds are if it would open back up, you know, he would still be there. But the problem becomes we're in October.
Right.
Impact contacted me. We were looking to set up dates 6 months from now, which would have been, you know, March of 2021, and just try to get things in place. And we can't do anything.
Right.
So, you know, we're ready to roll. We got big things happening. The FSW Arena is, you know, top notch. It's a TV studio now instead of, you know, a training facility where we can do some shows.
Right.
And, you know, we should be on probably the mid-November on MyLVTV. And, you know, this Saturday night, we got some great people coming in. And, you know, we're looking forward to everything we got planned. And, you know, we got the women's show coming up in November 20th. We're working on a huge main event for Lacey Ryan. I just found out from MK, who's partnering up with us. Katarina's been signed, the former Winter. And, nice. You know, we have a lot of very talented ladies on a separate show. And we're also planning the next Natural Born Killer show. With Cross being gone, obviously he can't run it. But we've talked with Tom Lawler, who's also from Vegas. And, you know, Tom's excited to lead us into Natural Born Killers 3. So, you know, the sky's the limit for us. You know what I mean? And it's like everything is in place. And, you know, our goal by next year is to be, you know, as well as we're doing, we want to be talked about like any of the big major independent companies around. You know, we got a great following. We got a lot of people who know where we are, but I still feel we have a lot of room to grow. You know, yeah. Our guys, we just got a mobile app, and now he's working on getting us our own FSW network, you know? And there is so much footage from 11 years that we have so much talent that, you know, we have 20, 30 Brian Cage matches, Kevin Cross matches, Chris Bay matches, that we can go into the archives as well as having Kevin Nash and Chris Masters and Timothy Thatcher and Ricochet and the Rascals and, you know, a who's who of professional wrestlers who have come through our doors.
Rocky, as we start to wrap up here, you know, to look at, first of all, what Joe's talking about and the future, did you ever think that, you know, this is how you guys would be talking 10 years ago? Did you ever see this as, you know, something that would
I mean, I never thought it'd get as big as it is, but, you know, I'm one of those guys where I put out 100%. I knew Joe was good at what he did. I knew I was good at what I did. And I knew if we could make it through those first couple of years that this would be something special. So it really wasn't a surprise. I mean, our production is top notch. I mean, we had some issues with production. We knew what we needed to do. But, you know, it all comes down to dollars and cents. Shit is expensive. Let's face it. You know, we're working on a skeleton budget. You know, I've always said this. We've always been looking for, like, that backer. You know, if Turner was backing us, like Ring of Honor, or we had a multi-billionaire backing, like, Impact, can you imagine what kind of show we would put on? I mean, what we do with nickels and dimes, where these other people are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for a show. I mean, so, you know, I always knew that as long as we could keep going and we could keep the doors open, that we would make it better and better every year. And we've done that. And we literally have done that every year. It is better and better. So we're putting out a product that has a lifetime sustainability, really. I mean, we really do. You know, as long as we keep going the route that we're going. You know, one of the biggest things that you hear about independent companies, you know, is, oh, God, he's a promoter and shit. He's an asshole. He doesn't pay. He doesn't do this. He's a scam artist. You'll never hear that about FSW ever, because we're not those guys. I'm not that guy. Joe's not that guy. We care about our reputation. We care about our name. You know, so as long as we keep to that, I don't think that we're going away for a long, long time. And I think that every year it is just going to get better and better. I'm a major businessman. I want to see the company go to the next level. For me, the next level is getting that investor to come in with those big bucks and us turning into the next Impact. You understand? Yeah. I mean, that's always, I think, what my goal and Joe's goal has been. It's never been just to be an indie company. We want to be a national company. We want to be able for people to turn on their TVs every week and see us nationwide. And we have the talent, we have the capability. We need a little bit more money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But we're working on that. You know what I'm saying? We're putting all our ducks in a row. And I think if we keep going the way we're going, man, we're in. I mean, we had right before the coronavirus, me and Joe were talking with MGM Grand, their reality series. And they were so interested in doing something with us. And then the corona hit. I mean, we had the executive producer fly out and talk to us. That's how interested they were. And they had seen other companies. We've done so much. I mean, geez, we've been on Cinemax with the Gigolos. We've done, Germany's Top Model with Heidi Klum. We've done so much. And we've gotten so much respect for that. So I think if we just, we just keep going the route that we're going, it's just inevitable that, there's going to be that day where you're going to tune in, and instead of seeing Ring of Honor Impact, it's going to be Future Stars of Wrestling. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I see us going. And we strive to get there. And, everything that we do between me and Joe and little Joey, I mean, and everybody else that's involved with FSW, we see a vision. And we know what it's going to take to get there, and we're working as hard as we can to do that.
It's amazing that you guys have had such a wonderful working relationship. A lot of times you hit a 5-year mark or so, and things start to become tensionful, things fall apart. But the remarkable thing in just meeting both of you and knowing both of you a little bit, and I love the fact that, A, you guys are fucking honest, period. And B, you do things the right way, which is one of the most important things in my 25 years or so of being around show business and entertainment in general. There are so many fucking corners cut. There are so many people just trying to make a quick turn on something or make themselves over. And you guys don't do it. You guys do it the right way and instill the right ethics in the kids and give the most incredible fan quality to those people who are using their money to purchase tickets to your product. And I think that, more than anything, A, equals the success that should be coming your way, and B, separates FSW from the countless other things that are out there that are just toxic. And that's one of my favorite things about you guys, is you guys are not toxic. You guys are inviting. And I mean, it's just wonderful to see that you guys have a loving relationship, a joking relationship, and you know, still can, you know, count on each other without having to put an ego up there. And it's amazing. And that's why I think from something as simple as Rocky, the arena looks fucking solid, man. It was amazing to walk into that place and to just be like, whoa, you know.
Right. And I still got a little bit more yet to do. I mean, I'm still working on some stuff. I mean, but we're just about there. We're almost there, you know. It was a good 5-6 months to get the arena to where it needed to be, slowly but surely. But, you know, we're on it, you know. You know, I think the great thing with me and Joe is, you know, I don't get in his business. He doesn't get in my business. We share that 50% right down the line. He's good at what he does. I'm good at what I do. And to be honest with you, I don't think I could do it with anybody else. And I don't think that he could do it with anybody else. I think it's the two of us together, you know, along with little Joey. I don't want to leave him out. Absolutely. You know, because he's a big part of what we're doing. But I think it's all of us together. That's really, you can't put the success of FSW on my back. You couldn't put it on Joe's back, little Joey's. I mean, it's all of us. And when I say all of us, I mean the talent as well. I mean, if we didn't have the guys, you know, that stuck with us over the years like they have, like the Remy Marcells and the Codys and, you know, all those guys, I mean, we certainly wouldn't be where we are. They've stuck through with us through thick and thin. So I think it's a, you know, it really is a family. We are a family at FSW, and we treat it as such. And I think that's made us very successful. We're not out there to cheat people. We're not out there to, you know, we're out there to give the best product that we can, but we put our heart and souls in it. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's not a money thing for me and Joe. I mean, I wish we made more money. I mean, we all want to make money on businesses that we're doing. But really what we do is we do it out of the love for wrestling. I mean, that's why we're involved in this, and that's why we do it. If we get a payday someday, hey, man, more power to us, you know. You know, it's not like we're taking a lot of money out of our pockets now like we used to. Things are very sustainable. You know, we're a little bit smarter than we used to be. And, you know, we make it happen. But I think all of us together is really, truly what's made FSW what it is. You know, so. And I'm proud to be part of it, man. I really am. So.
And Joe, any final thoughts as we wrap the episode?
I think a lot of it has already been said, but when we talk about the family, the most important part is that includes our fans. And yeah, we have the greatest fans in the world. I always jokingly said, if we've said we're going to have a cockroach race tomorrow at the FSW arena, there's still going to be 30 or 40 people that are going to show up. You know, we've gotten great sponsors, Garth from Mazda, Firehouse Subs. Now we have a food court. We can't sell a fucking hot dog because everybody goes to Firehouse Subs before the show because they are supporting people that are supporting us. And, you know, it's the kid class where those kids who may have been outsiders met people who are similar likes to what they are, and they're lifelong friends. There's the large packet of groups of fans at FSW that, if you're new, you have no idea that those people didn't know each other 4 years ago. But because of FSW, they go to karaoke together. They go out to eat together. They are lifelong friends because of FSW.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Like, we are that mom and pop organization. You know, we will never be WWE, but you know, one thing I always say, and people are always talking about Vegas and the competition. The other wrestling companies in town are not our competition at all. Our competition is everything else that's generally going on in town. You know, we feel our product by far, not only the best in Vegas, we know we are. We're one of the best all over the West Coast, Southwest, United States, you know. We are fortunate that we have some of the greatest talent that not only started with us and have become known throughout the United States, but still work for us because they've always appreciated how we treated them. That I always talk about a guy like Hammerstone and a guy like Chris Bay and a guy like Cross, that even though they were making a lot more money working elsewhere, they still made their way to work as many FSW shows as possible. And there's not a lot of companies that can say that. And we can very proudly that we have some great talent that first started with us when nobody knew who they were. They became famous and they still continue to work for us.
Absolutely. Rocky, any final thoughts?
No, man. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, I'm excited for 21, man, 2021. Hopefully we have a better year next year than we did this year. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. It was hard for me and Joe to survive this, you know. I mean, it was a difficult thing, but we did, you know. And I'm proud of everybody that stuck with us through this. And, you know, hopefully things are going to get better. I'm hoping after this election that things change. I mean, I really am. You know, I don't want to get too much into that, but hopefully it does. And we can get back to running our big shows and doing what we do. We've got a lot of big things coming up, and I'm excited for it. I really am. So it's the next chapter in the FSW book. You know what I'm saying? Because we're writing a book. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we're not even close to the end. It's just another chapter, you know? So.
Yeah, that's well said. And, you know, again, when you talk about the FSW fans, you know, I absolutely 100% agree that there's no better fans out there. You know, they've meant a lot to us as well. And, you know, I see.
Shout out to George and the Chief and Brandy and, you know.
And Lori. Yeah.
Lori, yeah, all of them. I mean, you know what? We really do have a great fan base, and our fans are, I mean, they've been a big part of the FSW family for so long now, and without them, I don't think that we'd be where we are, you know? I mean, so, you know, we're very blessed that way, you know, that they're willing to come and spend their money with us, and a lot of them don't have a lot of money, but they make sure that they put enough money away to come see FSW, which is greatly appreciated. And, you know, we remember them as much as we can, and we do what we do. We really do for them. Let's face it, you know. So,
yeah, that's the best way to put it. And I am, you know, so glad that you were able to join us. Again, those fans were the ones who were going, "Hey, where's the Rocky T episode?" So, you know, It's like, you know, I'm like, I got to work on getting Rocky.
You know, I hobnob with the fans. I mean, I love the fans, you know, and I made sure that I let them know that I do. You know, yeah. I care about all of them. I appreciate all of them, you know, so I go out of my way to make them feel as special as possible because really, truly, they are special. So I'm glad that they shouted out to you and they wanted me on. It's, you know, it's really my pleasure. So
excellent.
Very excited.
And with that, remember, every week, the DeFalco Files, the truth is here. Please download, subscribe, share, and review. And please, you know, listen to the different things we offer for the Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. But also, please check out Twitch, check out YouTube, and check out MyLV.
Mobile app.
And the mobile app that FSW has, which has some fabulous stuff going on. And we're getting the Twitch channel. Ben is and Joey are doing great jobs and presenting a lot of content. So please look up FSW's Twitch channel because you're going to see matches and new original programming. The Primo Popol cooking show. Oh my god. You know,
we're gonna have a bake-off Rocky versus Primo.
Oh, I love it. Gauntlet is throwing. I love it. And Mondo's new the horror films with Mondo. I just so inventive and creative. And I think that is just a key. And please, everyone, support FSW and Future Stars Wrestling. And until next week, we'll say goodbye, everybody.